All right. Let's start out, if you would, please, Mr. Whitaker. Give me an example of an experience that you've had as a public leader that you believe would prepare you to be a member of the U.S. Senate.
Right. Well, I served for 5.5 years as the presidentially appointed United States attorney, where I put thugs and predators in jail as a federal prosecutor. I'm also a small business owner and entrepreneur. I own several small businesses. And so for me, those experiences mean that the big issues of the day are not talking points to me. You know, I've lived them. And, you know, I look at the folks that are getting important things done in Washington, D.C., whether it's Senator Ted Cruz or Senator Mike Lee, who's a former federal prosecutor, or even Congressman Trey Gowdy, who's leading the Benghazi investigations. You know, he's a former federal prosecutor. You know, they share similar backgrounds to me. They're holding this administration accountable and advancing the conservative agenda nationally. And this is, you know, how we will win this election, by articulating our philosophy that the Constitution and freedom is what is going to win the hearts and minds of independents. And that's why I believe my experience is unique in this race. It's real world experience, and it's prepared me to be the next U.S. Senator from Iowa.
What do you think is the one thing you can do in the U.S. Senate to help create jobs in Iowa?
Well, you know, it's a national challenge in the U.S. Senate because unemployment is way too high in every state. You know, the one thing we can do immediately, and why our GDP grew, didn't grow in the first quarter and actually shrank, is because of the Affordable Care Act, and we need to completely repeal that. And then we also, I think, need to eliminate the tax code and start over. It's too complex. No one understands it, and, you know, it contains 5 times the number of the words as the Bible, but none of the good news. And it is causing uncertainty to all Americans. You know, I would support a national sales tax because that would end the practice of double taxation. You know, every dollar would be pre-tax, and individual families could decide whether to save their money or spend it. And those individuals would then be able to save for their future and increase their financial security through savings.
A recent Iowa poll by the Des Moines Register shows 65% of those who were asked support an increase in the minimum wage. Would you support an increase in the minimum wage?
You know, as a small business owner, I uniquely understand this issue. And what I know is that common sense tells you that when you raise the minimum wage, you actually are going to hurt the people you're trying to help. The lower skilled worker that needs an entry-level job to move their way up through the economy and get those skills through work are going to be actually priced out of the market. And so it's going to actually harm those people. You know, I have a 16-year-old son who had a minimum wage job at the state fair over the last 2 summers. And that experience he got and the kids that worked with him got was invaluable. And, you know, his main skill right now is killing internet zombies. And so, you know, to get sort of real job experience for the minimum wage now is going to qualify him and similarly situated teenagers and low-skilled workers for their next job where they can move up and earn more.
The proposed changes to the renewable fuel standards seem to signal that the administration may move away from grain-based alternatives to conventional fuels. What would you do in Washington to work in a bipartisan manner on energy policy that would benefit Iowans and still have national appeal?
Well, I am a all-of-the-above energy advocate. I think that everything should compete on its own, that consumers should have the lowest-priced energy choice that suits their needs, whether it's electricity or fuel for their cars. I have called for rethinking the renewable fuel standard. I'd like to see a reasonable glide path to free markets, and because I believe that free markets, you know, is not just words that conservatives say. We have to believe it. I've taken a bold stand, and really in that bold stand, I've taken on the special interests that are preventing free markets and free people.
Even with the former Iowa governor who heads up the Agriculture Department, farmers were kept in limbo for years over new farm policies, and it really affected how they did business. How will you represent the interests of agriculture and rural communities when you get to the Senate?
You know, I believe in the Iowa farmer, and I know that they can compete anyone in the entire world for producing ag products. You know, farmers want nothing more than a free market where they receive a check from a co-op or, you know, somebody else who's buying their product in a free market. One in every three soybeans are exported, and so we need to make sure we have bilateral free trade agreements across with any country that's willing to reduce barriers and encourage free trade. You know, I believe that we should not have subsidies and mandates that pervert markets and don't allow farmers to compete in a free market where they can get the highest and best price for their crop or their livestock.
Let's switch gears a little bit. You're campaigning to join Congress at a time when its approval ratings are some of the lowest in history, hovering in low to mid-teens in most cases. And this is a two-part question. Here's the first part. How did we get to this point?
Well, we've got to this point where we have hyper-partisanship in Washington, D.C., and recent history shows that in 2009, 2010, when Democrats controlled all the major branches of the legislature and the president, that they passed really dramatic liberal ideas and legislation without any Republican or very little Republican support. And I think that, you know, turned a lot of voters off as to how Congress gets things done. We're seeing those policies be implemented now, and it's hurting our economy. It's causing our economy not to grow. It's keeping American workers and people in Iowa that are looking for a job. It's keeping them unemployed because of these liberal policies from the Democrats. And so that's kind of how we've ended up here.
So let's continue on that path. When do you think it's appropriate for a senator to block a presidential nominee, and in what cases would you do so?
Well, I think, I believe in the filibuster rule. I think the Senate is a unique body that is supposed to advise and consent on presidential appointments. I was a presidential appointee that went through the advice and consent process when I was appointed U.S. attorney. I think it should be very rare. I think the president owes it to the Senate to put up well-qualified candidates that are not on the fringe of any particular issue, of whether it's judges or whether it's leaders within the administration. But I think at the same time, I was in any particular case, I would look at very much at the background and experience of the individual nominated and reserve judgment until there was a particular person in front of me to evaluate whether they are well qualified for that position.
Nearly every candidate running for office says they want to cut government waste and bring down the deficit. So name a program or a department that you would cut and why.
Well, I don't believe in a federal role in education, and so I've been outspoken that we need to eliminate the Department of Education. The Department of Commerce is another one I would look to. There are over 40,000 employees in the Department of Commerce. As a small business owner, I haven't interacted with a one. And so I would like to see significant trimming at the Department of Commerce. You know, it's a broader issue, too, and it's not just eliminating departments or reducing departments. You know, we need to start looking at aid to countries that don't like us very much. We need to look at the aid to the UN. I would propose small incremental cuts across all departments year over year and make our managers manage. It's what I did in the Department of Justice when I was the U.S. attorney. I'd eliminate and end the practice of baseline budgeting, but fundamentally I'd like to get to a balanced budget amendment to our United States Constitution.
We had a national and international focus earlier this week on the drawdown of troops from Afghanistan. I want to know from you, are we spending enough on national defense?
You know, I think we're spending too much. We need the strongest military in the world, but it is a massive part of our budget. And we know how government works. There is plenty of waste in there. And for too long, I think Republicans, like to say that it's too big and wasteful. But, you know, we can't do anything unless we open up all departments and reconcile, including the military budget. And, I think that should be on the table. I don't think we should be the world's police force. And I don't think we should engage in nation building. And Afghanistan is a prime example. We spent too long in Afghanistan, and I think we followed Colin Powell's Pottery Barn rule that we believe we broke it, but we just needed to go in to Afghanistan, eliminate Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and let the Afghani people manage their own affairs.
We've been moving along very quickly. In fact, this is the final question. Immigration reform is an issue that's important to Iowa, but it stalled in Congress. What immigration reforms do you support?
Well, we have to, as U.S. attorney, let me start with the context that I am informed with. As U.S. attorney, I enforce the immigration laws, and I visited the borders both in Texas, California, and even the state of Washington, the Canadian border. And I saw a border that is not secure. And so first we need to secure the border. I do not support amnesty or a path to citizenship. And I think it's necessary that we address this major issue because it is a major issue. I also don't support giving any status to those that have violated our laws and have, they need to get to the back of the line. And we need to make sure that we encourage at all times legal immigration. That being said, I am going to be the champion of the American worker, and I just don't think it's fair to immediately put 11 or 12 or 15 million people in direct competition. I know it'll lower wages of people that have done everything right, and I don't think government should fail them by increasing competition for those jobs. And I will continue to work every day to make sure that American workers have a strong economy that grows jobs and allows them upward mobility.